This morning's scripture reading, turn to Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31, verse 10. "She's a wife of noble character who can find she is worth far more than rubies."
I'd like to thank Tim for setting the mood for this morning. I gave him the scripture to read there, and I know all the women are probably going like, "Oh, great, another Proverbs 31 lesson for me to listen to." You know, it's for guys, women can be a little bit resentful about this chapter. Because you look at the stuff this woman does there, stuff. It kind of shows the tremendous pressure that women can be on when we come to this chapter and stuff on that. So they look at this stuff. And no wonder when you read this chapter and you see all the things that this woman does, and how often we use this chapter to say to women, says, you know, women, you need to be doing these things. You need to be working hard. You're not doing that stuff. And so it's not surprising that some women are just a little bit resentful of this chapter and toward this woman. And why they don't like her. Let's read some things here why they don't like her. If we're in chapter 31 there, it stayed there. Like at verse 13, she makes her own clothes. We go to verse 16. Apparently, she's a real estate agent. She's buying property and she's figuring all that stuff out. Verse 18, she's got some kind of home-based business going on. Verse 20, she's helping out the poor people. She's got time to do all that stuff, you know, giving them blankets and dinners and stuff. She's doing all that stuff for them. Verse 26, she knows just the right things to say, kind of like Dear Abby. You guys know that about Dear Abby. Anybody doesn't know Dear Abby, that's your homework for tonight. Go home and look up Dear Abby on that stuff. She was just this advice columnist, but this lady knows exactly what to say. And in verse 27, she still has time to take care of her family. She's a super mom and stuff. And verse 15 gives us the key to this thing, because apparently she can do all these things because she hardly ever sleeps and stuff. She can do these things. What a list of things she's involved in. And you can see why she kind of draws so much resentment. And then the question comes up then about this. They said, is this woman the standard? Is this what God expects out of women? And from a lot of studies that you read, you hear a lot of sermons, you hear the commentaries, the answer is, yeah, you ladies need to up your game quite a bit on this. And that's what's being pushed. And in reality, this is really hard for Christian women to bear. You know, who can do all these things? I'll let you know right off the bat. I can't even do all these things that she's doing and stuff on this. And women start off the bat, guys, feeling guilty and anxious about how they live their lives. Everybody's watching them and what are they doing? You know, and they're guilty to begin with. But then you read in chapter 31 and everybody's going like, hey, you need to be doing more. You need to do more. You need to be that Proverbs 31 woman. You're not doing enough. You need to be working at the home. You need to be fixing meals for other people. You need to be going to work if we need that. You need to be sending cards to people. You need to, of course, you have to get your Bible study in. You want to be like Priscilla. You want to be able to know everything about that, as well as do the home chores. And let's not forget about the kids. And certainly don't forget about your husband and stuff. So how do you do all the things the Proverbs 31 woman did? And that's always the question on that. So how about for this morning, we kind of look at here in Proverbs and figure out how to apply this chapter properly to what God has intended. Let's understand what Solomon, or in this case is King Lemuel, is saying, and what this text is all about here and stuff. So okay, there's three things that many of us don't know about this text. And first one, a lot of folks don't realize that this is in fact poetry. This isn't history. This isn't like history that we read in Genesis or Exodus or the Kings or that type of thing. Or we go in the New Testament about Acts or the Gospels. It's not history. And it shouldn't be read like history. And it's poetry. It's not to be read also the way you would read Romans or something like that. Romans or Hebrews there. It's a poetry. Now, it's a poetry. It's a special kind of poetry. They call this an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem is like each line of your poem begins with a letter, like the Jewish alphabet. Each word in the line is going to begin with the first letter of the alphabet, and it keeps corresponding to it. Now, another example of this acrostic poem is in Psalms, the 119th Psalm. That's an acrostic poem through there. And apparently, each stanza begins with a corresponding letter. The Book of Lamentations apparently is an acrostic poem like that. So this poem begins in verse 10. Now, you have seen this done before with preachers. You know, they get on the board and they write something vertically like church. And C-H-U-R-C-H, and they start out with C, the called out, they'll write, and they'll give you a lesson. And H, holy to the Lord, they'll do it that way. Go all the way down like that. So if you ever have a preacher get up and write Nebuchadnezzar down there, oh, two Z's, we're going to be sitting here a while for this lesson. He's going to be talking for quite a while here and stuff like that. So you're going to be here and stuff. So, and also there's a trade-off here with this acrostic poems there. So it's, instead of this nice smooth flow to things, they kind of jump around. They have to jump around because what's the next letter in this? So you see that like in verse 20, she's helping the poor. In verse 21, they're talking about the weather here. So, well, that's a quick swing. Well, it's a big change because that's what the next letter was, something about the weather and stuff. So it's a poem. Now this is an inspired poem. But it's a poem, and it should not be read the same way as a book of history. So there wasn't some woman in Israel doing all these things and stuff. It's just a poem there. In fact, Proverbs itself is a book of general rules. It's a book of general rules that are generally true. Let's go over to Proverbs, the 13th chapter. You may want to just keep a mark there at 31, because we'll be going back to that thing most of the time. But Proverbs 13, verse 11, general truths here that are generally true, general rules here. Chapter 13 of Proverbs, in verse 11, it says, "Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase." Now, that's a good general rule. Does that happen all the time? No, there's some people that's done some really dastardly things and have died with, millionaires. And then you can look back in your history during the Depression in Oklahoma, during the Dust Bowl, people that worked really, really hard for their farm literally saw them blown away by the Dust Bowl and stuff. They worked really hard and they didn't succeed. But this thing it's a general rule. Does this work all the time? No, but it does most of the times it works this way. And that's what Proverbs is all about. It just gives you general rules that's generally a really, really good advice, and that's what you should follow and stuff on that. So we look at that here. So Proverbs gives us some good general rules that's going to help us in life. So we got this for like the first 30 chapters. There's trouble with the folks there. We got the first 30 chapters of Proverbs giving us these general rules. And then we get to verse 10 of chapter 31. And our brains start going like, oh, this is really specific. This is right on. This is what we're supposed to be doing here and stuff. So we look at this. So, or how about we talk about real quick, like what's not in this poem? There's no discussion about her marriage with her husband. Nothing about taking long walks with him and talking with him and stuff. Does that mean we can have the women ignore their husbands on this thing? Doesn't say anything about treating your husband nicely and stuff. No, they said that's just not what this part is. This is a poetic description of a wise woman. A wise woman. In the book of Proverbs, the wise woman appears several times through this thing. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to see this as the woman, the wisdom being portrayed as a woman there. We look in chapter 8 of Proverbs, verse 1. He says, "Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand at the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. We go over to chapter 9 of Proverbs there, seeing this of the woman being portrayed as wisdom. Wisdom being portrayed as a woman there. So wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go the way of understanding. So wisdom is portrayed as a woman. We go down to the verse 13 of this chapter 9, and we see it another woman portrayed, and that is foolishness being portrayed as a woman there. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city. Sounds familiar to what we've seen here in verses 2 and 3 and that about wisdom there. She calls out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So in this chapter, you've got wisdom calling out to people to come into her house. And then you got foolishness calling out the same people. Come on into the Herod stuff. So we're looking at this thing. So we see this wise woman just calls out throughout the book. If we go to the first chapter of Proverbs, we look at verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 1. He says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. We go to verse 20 here of chapter 1. Wisdom calls out outside, calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares there. And then we got chapter 8, and we got chapter 9, and then we got chapter 31. Now I always wonder, is this chapter 31 then talking about wisdom as well, this woman? And remember that wisdom is not this kind of wisdom that the world thinks of wisdom. You know, they kind of think about this reflection where somebody's really smart and just meditating on things. No, wisdom in Scripture, it's practical. Wisdom in Scripture, it's the things that you do. It's what works in your life. And that's the wisdom that they're talking about. So all this doing that we see here in chapter 31 might just be the ways of a wise woman, how we do this. Okay, now, so that's the first one there. It's a poem. It's giving us general ideas on stuff. Number two thing to remember about this book, and this one you're really going to like this part, Proverbs is not written for women. It's written for men. Now, there's a ton of things in the book of Proverbs that women can grab and use, and it's going to help you out a lot in your life. But this is not written to women, not primarily. We look here in Proverbs 31, in verse 1, it gives us a thing for this chapter. It says in verse 1 there, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. King Lemuel, some say this might be Solomon, might be a pet name that Bathsheba gave Solomon, so on that thing. But either way, they're saying these are the words from a mother to her son there. We look at that. He says, what my son, and what the son of my womb, and what son of my vows. It's a mother talking to her son and giving this advice here. So Proverbs begins in chapter 1 about my son, hear your father, hear your mom. And in Proverbs ends in chapter 31 with the message, hey, listen to what your mom has to say on these things, guys, and stuff. So we look at this here in chapter 31 and verse 3. Listening to what a mom's telling her son there. He says, verse 3, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So he's going to watch out for strange women. Ladies or daughters, you want to watch out for strange men as well, isn't it? If he's telling them to watch out for strange women, you probably ought to be watching out for the strange men too. Verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Stay away from alcohol. That's a good message for a lot of women. You ladies take a beating in society. They got women doing all kinds of stuff now to be you know, oh yeah, you want to go out and party too, ladies, be equal and stuff. And they're taking advantage of all these women there. We look at there in verses 8 and 9, open your mouth to the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. You know, stand up for the poor and oppressed is what his mom is telling them. Then, starting in verse 10, they're saying, you need to find a wise wife, is what she's telling him there. Then the summation we see of all these things is in verse 30 and verse 31. It says, charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her at the gates. So favor and beauty is deceitful and vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is going to be the one that's praised. Now, I'm not saying here, and this is not saying that charm and beauty are bad. And I just want to say right off the bat, all you ladies have passed the look test. That's on that thing. But it's just not a good reason to marry somebody, just how they look and stuff. You want to know about this. So a young man in verse 10, they need to find an excellent wife. So where do you find one? How do you find one? Well, verse 30, you're looking at, is he, she that fears the Lord. And a woman who fears the Lord is going to have accomplishments that follow that feeling on that. It's going to be this, you know. And actually, it was men who were supposed to memorize this verse, these set of verses. Husbands would memorize this and sing this to their wives on the Sabbath and stuff. You know, this is, and put an asterisk here, and this is not a checklist for women to do these things. Its primary purpose was to give a young man an idea of what he should look for in a wife. So you're telling all the young men, you want to look for a wise woman. You want to look for a woman who fears the Lord. And that's what this whole book of Proverbs is about. It says the same, young men, this is wisdom in all the aspects of our lives. This wasn't written for women, this was written for men. So instead of using this in a women's class, I guess we use this a lot of times in women's classes, it probably shouldn't be in that. It should be in a young man's training class, you know, to get the teenagers. Here's what you're looking for, guys, when you're looking for a wife in that. And if you marry for looks, it could come back to haunt you. You know, if that thing works, that looks is the big determining factor, these celebrity marriages would be just doing so well. And, you know, that Elizabeth Taylor, what a beautiful lady. How many times was she married? Yeah, well, let's see, about 7-8 times and stuff. So, yeah, they're not, you know, it's because they're not successful, because the real beauty is on the inside. And that's not what society tells us. It tells you, no, it's on the outside. Real beauty, it lasts on the inside. It's that fearing the Lord kind of beauty, and that's what men should be looking for. So number three, how about some things that aren't on this list here? Things that society says you have to be. The things that are unobtainable here. There's nothing in Proverbs 31 about having huge piles of money. Now, this lady appears to be middle income, appears to be well-to-do. She does have maidens. She does have servants. But I don't think she's rich. You know, because I cannot picture Bathsheba getting up in verse 15, getting up real early and feeding everybody. I think she was probably a late sleeper, in my opinion, on that thing. The emphasis, though, is that the woman is not lazy. She's not just an idle person doing nothing here. You remember that in 1 Timothy 5, we don't have to go there, but 1 Timothy 5 talked about taking widows that are widows indeed. And one of the things it says, don't take a young widow to the church where the church takes care of this young widow. He said, let her go out and get married. Because if we take her in, she's going to be bored and she's going to just do nothing but walk around to house and spreading gossip and stuff. She's going to be cause a lot of trouble. So it's better for her to go out and get married and raise her family in that. So there's also nothing in this Proverbs 31 about her being this CEO and earning a bunch of money. They always got this problem. The society kind of tells a lot of the women, says, oh, no, being at the house is terrible. You need to be abandon your kids and be an executive somewhere and stuff, because that's the true thing for a woman and stuff on that. You know, it doesn't, there's nothing about wearing the latest fashions as well. It doesn't mean, I'm not talking about you ladies have to be wearing those denim dresses that all the girls in the cult wear and stuff like that. So I'm not talking about that. But that also means you don't have to be wearing every latest style. And you ever see that, how they do this to in society to mess you up? You're wearing something that's comfortable, it's great, and they go, oh, got the latest styles. You got to stop wearing what you're wearing. Go out and buy something else new, and you got to be wearing that thing, or you're not doing well and stuff, you know. There was I watched this one show one time, and they had this, some state, there was the local television anchor, you know, since we've been talking about Walter Cronkite, but he's doing the anchor stuff. And this guy decided, didn't tell anybody, but he wore the same suit on every broadcast for a year, and nobody noticed. He might change his shirt, have a different colored shirt or different colored tie, but that's, He wore the same suit the whole time. And they showed this kind of compilation thing of every broadcast. They just did it for like a second, showing him wearing this suit. And they had the co-anchor was a lady next to him. And every day it's like, it's different colored dresses. Pop, pop, blue, it's red, it's green, it's yellow, it's a turtleneck sweater, it's this, this, this. Every day she had to have something on different, but this guy's just wearing the same suit there and stuff, you know. So it's like that. You don't have to be wearing the latest fashions all the time and letting the world dictate to you what you're supposed to be wearing and stuff and what's fashionable and stuff. Verse 21 says she's not afraid of the weather because everybody's well-dressed. Everybody's is dressed warmly. Verse 24, she makes fine linen, but again, because she's not idle, but doesn't say anything about she's wearing the latest fads. And isn't that great? Verse 25, though, tells us strength and honor are her clothing. She wears strength and she wears honor. So we got to be careful. See, because the women do take a beating in this society. They take advantage of us all the time there. So strength and dignity are her clothing, strength of character. So also, there's nothing in here about dressing in a sexual way. That's another way the women take a beating on this stuff. I was at a football game with my youngest daughter, and we're just watching these girls walking around and the way they're dressing. I told my daughter, I said, man, they take advantage of you guys because they say, oh, you want to dress this way because you're confident. So you're not confident. They're saying that so you'll be eye candy for all these guys to ogle at you. So put some clothes on this, you know, this lazy on this thing. So they do this kind of stuff. In fact, there's a warning about that in Proverbs, the sixth chapter, about how they dress. Chapter 6 of Proverbs, and we're looking at verse 24. He says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. You have these girls think that they have to dress this way to attract a man. And I said, this is bad. You should not be doing this. You know, society tells you to need to do this. But there's no discussion in Proverbs 31 about dressing like that to get your men. That is not how the wise woman is going to behave. I think that's just great that Proverbs 31 does not require all the ladies to be supermodels and stuff. So what's in Proverbs 31? It's character. It's a care for family. It's a care for hard work. Willingness to do what needs to be done for your family and stuff. So it's, instead of reading this section the way we normally do, let's do this, read this text through the lens of verse 30, the one that fears the Lord and stuff. So back to chapter 31, we're looking at verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Why does she do that? Because she fears the Lord. And she imitates the Lord. Do we have a fear of the Lord, but that we're concerned about everything? We have peace, which we're talking about that. We have a peace with God because we know He's going to take care of us in it. We look at verse 13 now. It says, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. You see this character here. She's not lazy. She's doing things for her family because she, you know, she fears the Lord. She wants to do it. She's doing these things to take care of her family. She's doing things based on what's best for the family, not how does it fulfill me in my life and stuff. That's verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Why does she do that? Because she fears the Lord. That's what the Lord does, taking care of the needy and stuff. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestries by herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. I learned something about this tapestry stuff. You ever watch those movies with the knights and the shields and stuff? And what are the ladies in waiting doing? They're up there in some room and they're gossiping and they're making these tapestries. And I thought, like, man, just something for them to do while they're doing it. Well, there was a need. What they did when they made those tapestries, those things were expensive and they would sell those after they got done making them. So they were doing something for the family. They were bringing something for the income in there. They weren't just goofing off there and stuff. So we're seeing here she's making tapestries to sell and stuff. So we see this. And why is she doing all this stuff? Because she fears the Lord, you know. And what's her husband known for? Well, he's known for having a wife with a character of godliness. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Why does she rejoice? Because she trusts in God. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. There, wisdom and kindness, kind of like our Lord, isn't it? Wisdom and kindness for him. Verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You know, why do they praise her? Because like God, she takes care of her family. And this is one thing for guys. Remember that joke about the farmer, and he's married to this lady and they're for years and he won't say that he loved her? And at the end of the thing, he says, you know, when we got married, I said, I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. That's the joke. And it's, yes, it is really funny, but guys, do not do that. I'm telling you right now. Better tell her she's doing a great job. You better tell her you love her all the time and stuff. So verse 30, charm and beauty are deceiving, but what matters? Well, Solomon's mom says, a woman who fears the Lord, give her the praise. So this means then, from this chapter, that any woman can be this Proverbs 31 woman. So ladies, you don't have to go out and get a realtor's license. You don't have to start a home-based business at your house. You don't have to learn to be a seamstress. You don't have to learn to spin wool. You don't have to convert your backyard into pasture land so you can raise your sheep and do all that kind of stuff. You just need to fear the Lord. And when you fear the Lord, there's actions that's going to be coming out that's going to show that you fear the Lord. So this message of this chapter and this book is, or for this chapter really, the message is, young men, you need to seek a woman of godly character, a woman who cares about her relationship with the Lord. And you need to find a wife who fears God. And the message to women is, don't make this a checklist and then work yourself to death trying to keep it. But you seek God in the place where you're at. What you can do, you're seeking God, that's going to take care of those things. Be balanced in your life as you are a woman who fears the Lord. And the great news about Proverbs 31, it's just not an impossible list of duties that no woman or man could fulfill. But in verse 30, any woman can be this woman if she fears the Lord. And Proverbs 1:7 just says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that's my lesson. But I'd like you guys to go over now to Matthew 11, chapter 11 of Matthew. So hopefully I've taken the pressure off a lot of you ladies on what we're supposed to be doing here. But there's another thing that can pressure us, and that's the pressure of sin and how it affects us and stuff. Well, we look here in Matthew 11, and we go down to Matthew 11, verse 28, and we see that Jesus was dealing with trying to help people with the pressure that they were under. He says, "Come up to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So don't put that, we don't want to put that too much pressure on ourselves, especially when we don't have to be doing that. So if there's some way we can help you out, whether sin has been knocking you down or you're getting discouraged, you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, or you're having struggles and you just need the help or prayers or just to be baptized, we can help you out in any way. So we'll ask you to come forward while we'll stand and sing our song of invitation there.